Welcome to the podcast of St. Basil the Great Catholic Church in Brecksville, Ohio, with homilies, talks, and interviews relevant to your Catholic faith. God bless you and enjoy.
It's hard to believe that on a specific Sunday, which is set aside as Divine Mercy Sunday, that mercy of God could be even more than what it is on any other day. But that's what we are told on this Sunday. I don't know about you, but mercy is, to me, is a word that I think we simply fail to understand when it comes to God's mercy. Dictionary tells us that mercy is compassion and is forgiveness, particularly when it is given by somebody who could penalize you. But the mercy of God is more than compassion. It's certainly more than forgiveness, even though those things are wrapped up in it. Mercy of God is transformative. Mercy from God takes doubt and changes it into certainty. It takes fear and brings courage. It takes confusion and brings clarity. Mercy of God wraps around you and fills you up and turns you around and tells you and lets you know that you are something very different than what you believe you are. If you simply listen to the parables, and there are many of the parables that talk about God and God's mercy, but just a few of them, if you look at them, the woman at the well, Jesus goes out of his way to encounter her. He does something no Jew would do, go to Samaria, talk to a woman, and even ask for a drink. And if she gave him a drink, he would drink out of a cup that was unpurified, breaking the rules of purification. And yet Jesus is there. Why? He sought her out. She was very specific in his journey. And he reveals to her her whole life and everything she did. And it wasn't pretty. And what does he say to her? I have what you need if you only ask for it. The prodigal son, you know his story. And what does he do? He says, I've had enough. I'm going back to my father's house, even though he should have been stoned to death. I'm going back and I'm going to ask the Father to just let me be a slave in his house. A slave. No voice. He cannot do anything but sit at the feet of the master and watch and wait for a command to come. He has no standing. He has no rights. He has a bed to sleep in and food on the table and a roof over his head. That's very often what we all settle for in our own journey to Christ. Mercy. And we see mercy in this gospel we just read, given to Thomas. I will not believe unless I see it, Thomas is telling us. We have the nickname, Doubting Thomas. I think that's unfair to Thomas personally, because every disciple in that room was doubting. They had seen Jesus crucified. They've seen the empty tomb. They don't know what's happening. They're hiding from fear of the Jews, and they don't know what is coming next. They are wondering, and they're doubting, and their faith in Jesus is shaking. You could hear it in the disciples on the road to Emmaus when they said, we had hoped that he would be the one. And every disciple in that room had hoped that he would be the one, and now their hope is shattered. This is not what the Messiah is. The Messiah is going to be a warrior king that's going to free us. Instead, they have a Savior who died for them. They didn't understand everything that Jesus taught them. Everything Jesus said to them about him dying and rising went right over their heads. They had not a clue. And they didn't know what was coming next. And certainly they would have rejoiced when they saw him. He's back. He's risen from the dead and he is back. He is real. And now the real kingdom will be established. Rome will be overthrown and they cannot kill him again. So we will have victory. I don't know what's going on in their minds, but it certainly isn't what they think it is. Should make us wonder, what is our image of God? What do we think God is and who God is? How is our faith formed? What is it we believe and taught since we've been infants, by our parents, by schools, by our church? We got 2,000 years of formed doctrine and theology and tradition. We know what we believe. But do we understand God's mercy? I think for us to understand mercy, we need to feel it. We need to experience it. We can't just use it as a word to say God is merciful and pray for God to have mercy. We can't hope for it. We need to experience it. I'm going to tell you a little bit of my life journey as I'm going to wrap up this homily, because it is probably my last one here at Basil's after 26 years. But I grew up in a pre-Vatican II church. We didn't call them homilies at the time. We called them sermons. And the sermons I heard was God's wrath, and I was a sinner, and I was going to hell. My image of God, I was afraid of God. I went to confession regularly because I didn't want to go to hell. My faith was weak. My faith was in hope that I had done enough. And my transformation came when my wife and I, Ann and I, got married. We moved to Charlotte, North Carolina. We entered a church called St. Anne's. Vatican II changes were put in effect in St. Anne's, and we walked into a church that was vibrant, it was alive, and the people there were worshiping during liturgy. You could see their faith in everything they did. It's much like the St. Basil's when people come here. But you could see the faith in these people, and I knew instantly my faith was deficient. I did not have what they had, and I wanted it. But I didn't know how to get it. Oh, I could study, I could read books, I could do all kinds of things, but that didn't satisfy me. So I volunteered. First job I ever did in the church was count money, twice a month. Take the offertory, count it, record it to the people, and put it in the bank, me and two other men. And then I volunteered to be on the maintenance committee. Then I volunteered to be an usher. Then I volunteered on social events to set up and take down, work in the kitchen. I became an active Catholic. But my faith was still deficient, and I wanted what they had. And to make a long story short, it took me 10 years. 10 years from that day in Charlotte, North Carolina, 10 years to finally say, what is missing in me? I have to do what Thomas did. I have to acknowledge Jesus as my Lord and my God. I have to turn to Jesus and say, I want you, what you are offering. I want what you gave the woman at the well. I want to feel you embraced like the prodigal son. I want it all. And I know what I'm doing is not helping me achieve it. So I need to encounter you. So here I am, Lord. It was a peaceful, day-long quest to discover God. And I began reading Scripture. I began a personal prayer life. And through the Scriptures, I encountered this God of love and this God of mercy. And it made me hunger for it more. And eventually, a year later, I had my prodigal son moment where God embraced me. I felt God's arms around me. I felt forgiveness wash over me. And I know what mercy feels like. It is freeing. It is absolutely life-changing. And it was then that a priest talked to me about becoming a deacon in Bennington, Vermont. He said, Dave, I think you have everything that it would take. I didn't know what a deacon was. I never saw a deacon. Protestant churches had deacons. I didn't know Catholic churches had deacons. But he spent some time with me, gave me materials, and I just said, well, then maybe I can do this. But God told me, not yet. And then a move, and he said, not yet, and then another move, and a not yet, and a not yet, and a not yet, till 20 years later, here in Brecksville, Ohio, God said, now. In 1995, 20 years after I said yes, I find myself in the diaconate program. And I want to thank each one of you and the parishioners who supported me at that time, the encouragement you gave me, the support you gave me, the trust you gave me. You trusted me with your secrets and your life. You trusted that when you could come to me with problems, they were confidential. All the people who went through Alpha, almost 4,000 people, and the life changes that happened in them, I am absolutely grateful to a God who touched me and let me feel what mercy felt like. And I guess in my whole diaconate career, that's what I've been trying to do for everyone. Help them feel God's mercy. It's been a joy to be with you. And by the way, I'm not having health issues. I'm not having issues with anything. It's just God saying, it's time, Dave. I need to focus on the things that I do well. The people I meet, the people I pray with, the talks I give, the programs I give, I will keep doing those. I'm not going away. You don't have to plan my funeral anytime soon. I'm going to be here. Ann's going to be here. We're going to be serving this community to the best of our ability. And I want to thank each one of you. And I want to thank the God who just would not give up on me. So if there's any message, please. One of the things they taught us in homiletics is never talk about personal stuff because people walk away remembering the personal. So I want you to forget all that personal stuff and just remember God's mercy. You need to simply reach out and ask God to pour that mercy upon you. And it will flow over you like a glory spout from heaven, washing you, cleansing you, healing you, transforming you, and giving you new life. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this audio from our parish. You can find other homilies, talks, and interviews at our website, basilthegreat.org, or by subscribing to this podcast in your favorite app. Just search for St. Basil Catholic Church, Brecksville. St. Basil the Great, pray for us.